All right, good morning. Super excited to be here with everyone this morning, and I pray that your time and your small group studies went well this morning. If you have a bulletin, let's go ahead and open this bulletin up. Let's take a look at a couple things on here. Number one, I wanted to let everyone know out there in the Hallelujah hallway, there is a meal sign-up sheet for David and Martha Hamilton. It's for 2 weeks. I've already seen that somebody's already signed up for a day, so the days are filling up fast. So take a look at that after service if you feel like you can serve. That way, there's opportunities out there. Also out there in the hallway is, you know, we've gone through several weeks, months at this point, about getting the church roll and everything updated with dates and addresses. This Sunday and next Sunday is your last opportunity to do that. After next Sunday, we'll be taking that up. I know some of you were looking for it a couple Sundays ago. It's back out there. Fill it out. Get your information updated so we can stay in contact with you. You got 2 weeks left to get that done. All right? Big reminder, tonight, December 18th, kids' Christmas play. I've been talking to Mandy and Simon about this, and I think this is one of the biggest Christmas plays that we've ever done. It's going to be a wonderful time. Once we are blessed by the kids' work, we're then going to have a time of desserts and fellowship. So bring your favorite dessert. If you need help figuring out what your best dessert is, let me know. I'll try to help you figure it out. But we're going to have that after the play tonight. So that'd be great if you all could bring some desserts. Also, you see there for the kids, December 21st. That's a Wednesday. They're going to have a happy birthday Jesus party. Be looking forward to that. One of the things that I also wanted to remind you all of that didn't make the bulletin, and so write this in, Christmas Eve service. So next Saturday at 9 p.m., we will have our Christmas Eve service. So 9 p.m., I forgot to put that in the bulletin. That's 100% my fault. But so we would love for you to join us. It's one of my favorite times of the year that we get together as a church and light our final candle for the Christmas Eve service. Very important time of reflection and remembrance. Also, speaking of reflection and remembrance, in the plates, you know, you'll see that we're taking up the Lottie Moon offering. We have Lottie Moon with us. I forgot last week to show a video, so we're going to watch a video real quick on Lottie Moon just to give you an idea of what this season is about. All right, so just a real quick reminder of what the Lottie Moon season is. It's international missions. It's for missionaries to go out and share the gospel around the world. And you'll see there they made a purpose to let you know that the model of that has changed a little bit. It's more about now, instead of just giving the gospel and leaving, it's missionaries living there, committing their entire lives there, but also investing in and raising up preachers from within that culture, so that when that missionary is called either back home here in the United States or called home to glory, that the church presence remains there. And so it's super important. They're doing a really good job. So again, I encourage you to pray and see how the Lord would have you partner alongside our international missionaries. Something else that we do here at Dallasburg, we'd like to celebrate wedding anniversaries. We have a wedding anniversary this morning. This is when everybody claps, yeah. 18 years, correct? 18 years, what a blessing. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, it's pretty often here, we'll celebrate a 50, 60 year wedding anniversary. So you hear 18, you're like, man, what's 18? 18's a big deal. Every year is a big deal, right? So we want to commit to that. We want to believe in that. And we want this, especially with JT. And we want to, I'm just joking, JT. And we want to, as a church, continue to understand and invest in marriages and in relationships, because it matters to God, therefore it should matter to us. So if you ever have an anniversary you want us to celebrate, you let me know and we'll make sure and we do that, okay? Whether it be the first one or whether it be the 100th one, we want to celebrate alongside with you. Speaking of traditions, we now have the time of our Advent candle. So we're going to have the big group come down. Andrew, when you all finish, we'll just jump right into worship after you pray, okay? All right. Absolutely, sure. Absolutely, yes, that's a great question, Marjorie. Thank you for asking that. Yes, church services next Sunday were as plain as they've always been. Sunday school, starting at whatever time Sunday school starts, 9:30, because for my Sunday school class, it's different. Sunday school class will be at normal time, worship will be normal time. We will not have evening service, though. So you can, we won't have evening service. So, Marjorie, thank you for asking that question.
3 weeks ago, we lit the prophecy candle to remember that God spoke through prophecy the promise of the coming Christ child. 2 weeks ago, we lit the Bethlehem candle, a symbol of the preparations being made to receive and cradle the Christ child. And last week, we lit the shepherd's candle, remembering the first in a long line of people who joyfully shared the good news of the Savior's birth.
The fourth candle is traditionally called the angel candle. The angels are God's messengers who announced the coming of the Lord. The angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and Joseph to announce the birth of Jesus. The angels sang out with joy to proclaim Jesus' birth to the shepherds. The angel Michael announced the coming of Christ again in the revelation to John. Today we wait with joy for the second coming of Jesus.
Luke 2:8-14 says, And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace among those with whom is pleased."
Let's pray. Fight.
Amen. Let us stand. And after hearing that Bible verse and whatnot, we're also reminded in Psalm 117, where it says, "Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." And praise the Lord. So I tell you this morning, in remembering what the Lord has done for us, let us come, all you faithful, and let us praise his name.
Oh,
19:14 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation."
And because of that, we can continue singing this morning.
Thank you.
Psalm 118:15-16. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now. Lord, thank you so much for the blessing it is to gather here today. Father, we thank you so much for this Christmas season as we anticipate the birth of Christ, as we come 1 week closer to celebrating the birth of Christ. Father, we thank you so much for that gift that you gave to us, Father, that the hope that we have in him of eternal life and forgiveness for our sins. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us, and Lord, we pray over this offering right now that you would take it and multiply it and use it to advance your kingdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our kids will head off to Children's Church. I wanted to, not just this morning, but I see it on a pretty regular basis, but I noticed that this morning, mostly on Jeremiah, we should all be this happy. I don't know what was going on when you were playing Jeremiah. I don't know if someone was making fun of or picking on you out there, but we should all have a smile on our face. Right, like Raphael and like Crystal and like Jeremiah, as we sing and lift up songs of praise to God. That's what we should look like. We should be happy. We should be joyful. You should be overjoyed to be here this morning, and I pray that you are. We're going to continue to make our way through the Advent season. Not as a shock to any of you there, you see in your bulletins there where we're going to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. You've already had it read to you once this morning, But I want to give you the whole context, Steve, so I'm going to read 8 through 20 for us, just to give you the context of what's going on here, but we're going to drill into verse 14, all right? God's word says this. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for our musicians as they prepared our hearts to hear your word. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the truth that we discussed this morning in our small group studies. Lord, we thank you for the confidence that we have in our salvation in you. We're thankful for that. And Lord, we understand that confidence in salvation all began with the birth of Jesus. So Lord, we're thankful for this season. We're thankful for the reminder of what this season represents. And Lord, I pray for everyone with us this morning, whether they be in person or joining us online, that they are focused on the true reason for this season. They're not letting their joy be stolen, and they're not getting caught up in the hustle and bustle of this time, but they're able to truly focus upon you. In Jesus' precious name, I pray, amen. So as we gather here this morning, as we drill in a little bit there on verse 14 and what God's word told us there, we see the angels displaying for us, giving us an example of how we should be acting in this season, right? I wonder among us this morning if we have any Scrooges by chance, right? Ford, you didn't have to raise your hand, but okay. that's very true. Is, you know, Scrooges, those who just, you know, just hate everything. They're just mad about everything. Other people's joy brings them sadness. Ford, that doesn't sound like you. But we don't want that to be part of our time this year. And then I wonder if we've got any Grinches. You know, I don't know if you guys have watched The Grinch this season yet. I don't know if it's been on TV yet or not. But just someone who wants the whole thing to be over. Just wants to not exist at all. But then we see here in verse 14, we see how the angels respond, right, to this season. And they respond in a very clear ways. They respond in three ways. They respond with a spirit of praise. They respond with a spirit of understanding peace. And they also respond with a spirit of being thankful for God's sovereignty. So that's what we're going to drill in this morning. The first thing we're going to take a look at is we're going to look about the spirit of praise. And so I think there's a very clear, there's a very clear connection between what we see here in verses, or in chapter 2, verse 14, back, if you want to flip your Bibles back, for my Bible it's a page, maybe for yours it's not, but it's Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 69. And this is where Zechariah, the father of John, who goes on to be named John the Baptist, you know him well through Scripture. He's always one of my favorite characters in Scripture. And we see that the Holy Spirit comes upon Zechariah, and he gives us a true prophecy talking about Jesus. So he says this in verses 67 through 69. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And so the first thing the angels do is in verse 14 is they burst out in a spirit of praise. They're very thankful. They're very happy. They're overjoyed with what this season represents. And so one of the things that I would challenge you this morning to think about is of those three that we've mentioned, and there's more categories than that, of those three we mentioned, what is your spirit of praise right now? Have you got caught up in this season? Are you worried about, I don't want to make anyone even more nervous this morning, but time is running out, right? Next Sunday is Christmas. Some of you, I mean, I remember I read studies all the time, and the average man stops shopping 4 days before Christmas, right? That's, you know, the women laugh at that, and the guys are like, oh, that sounds early to me. I just wait the night before, right? I go, you know, whatever the Dollar General's got is what I'm shopping for this year, right? But we understand that in this season, we don't want to let our joy be stolen with the hustle and bustle of the season. I had someone come up to me, I don't know, a week ago, and they're like, man, you don't like Christmas, do you, Michael? And I was like, no, you have misheard me. I love Christmas. I love this season, but I love it for what it represents. I do not love the over-commercialization of this season. That is what I do not like. But the fact that we get together and we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior, it should blow your mind what this season represents. It should be very important to you. So we should look more like the angels. We should be, our praise should become spontaneous in nature. Look at verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude, the heavenly host, praising God and saying, right? So if we this morning truly know who God is, then we can't help but be praiseful as we sing the praises of God. That's why I said this morning, and I noticed it, and I don't know, maybe something was going on, but all the musicians this morning had big smiles on their faces. Very happy, right? They're using the talents that God has given them to praise God. We should all be doing the same thing. Some of you are thinking, well, I can't play a radio. Neither can I, right? I don't have the gift of, that's why you don't see me up here playing an instrument, because I can't do it, right? I couldn't carry a tune if it had a handle on it. But you know what I do have is I have a voice, and I have the opportunity to share the gospel. One of the things, and I always tell, and I always have this debate in my own head, which season is best for sharing the gospel? Whether it be Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter, or whether it be Christmas. And the truth is, I think they both provide massive opportunities. You may have already, maybe you've already had some Christmas gatherings, I don't know, but you're going to have some gatherings coming up soon. I am confident that some of you have people in your family that are not resting in the Lord as their Savior. There has never been a more tailored situation than to speak truth in their life at these gatherings. Now, your mom or grandmother or whoever, the matriarch or patriarch of your family, they'll be like, man, don't bring up this again. Look what's at stake. This could be their last Christmas, right? Their eternal salvation is at stake here. Don't let these opportunities, I like to call them windows of opportunities, don't let these windows of opportunities just slip away. The truth is, if you have the spirit of praise like the angels do here, you should not be able to do anything but share the gospel and speak the truth to people. It should just be leaping out of you, right? And we also see here is that praising God is very specific, right? I have to be careful because I always have a tendency to say pacific, like the ocean. Specific is what I'm saying here, right? Verse 14, glory to whom? God in the highest. Now, this is something that I think we can set here for a little bit this morning and have a little conversation about this, is that here is a biblical truth. There is only one thing worthy of your praise and worship, and that is God. Right? One of the things that we have to understand is that Jesus was not born to create a holiday. He was born for sinners. That's why he is worthy of our praise and worthy of our worship. The truth is, we live in a time and an age to where everyone is worshiping something, and unfortunately, a lot of times, it's not the God of Scripture, right? You know, this is one of the things, and we could talk about, we could do a list. A lot of times I'll give a list, you know, money, your career, your family. You know, one of the big ones is that, and I shared this morning, you know, what is something that you're very content in? That was the first question of your Sunday school lesson. And my answer was my wife. I love my wife. I'm not interested in anybody else's wife. I love my wife. I'm very committed and interested in her. But the truth is, as much as I love her, she's not worthy of worship. I'm very blessed by her. But the only thing worthy of worship in your life is the uncreated creator of the universe, whom we call God. It's the God of the Old Testament. It's the God of the New Testament. And we see the angels have it right here. Right? Pray glory to God in the highest. We understand God rests in the highest position there is. That is who we are to glorify and who we are to worship. I would encourage you this morning, take a look at your life. Take a look at your schedules. Take a look at your, does anyone have checkbooks anymore? Take a look at your bank accounts. Look where you're spending your money. It is very easy to find out what you are worshiping. Very easy for you to find out. And Scripture is very clear of who the only thing is worthy of worship, and that is God. Now, one of the things we got to be very careful about in this time of the season is that society and the world, they're trying to convince you to worship other things right now. They're trying to convince you to worship commercialism. They're trying to convince you to worship stuff. They're trying to convince you to worship the days that you get off and you're going to be at home. The truth is, all of those things they're not inherently evil. What's inherently evil is how our sinful nature deals with them. And I'll say this, and this often comes up in a Bible study or in Scripture, and people look at you, they're like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. And it's because we don't understand it, but God is righteously jealous for you. Now, you don't understand that. I have a hard time understanding that, too. It's because you've never been righteously jealous for anything. You just haven't, because you have a sin nature. So there's sinful desires in your jealousy. God is inherently sinless, right? So when he's jealous for you, it's another sign of his what? Of his love for you. Hey, everybody's talking this morning. I like it. Of his love for you. And because you understand as much as your small brain, you know, you people look at me like, man, you got a big brain. It's just, I got a big head. My brain ain't no bigger than anybody else's, right? In your small brain, as much as you can conceive of the depths of God's love, that should produce nothing in your life but worship for him. Just like we see the angels doing there this morning, right? As they continue to praise God and to reach out to him and understand who he is, which then leads us to something I've already talked about a little bit. I'll give you the verses for it too, is praise should naturally lead to one thing, right? And that's worship of him. And then what should spring out of that worship of him is we see that it should result in spreading the good news. It should result in sharing the gospel. We see that in verse 17. This is chapter 2 in Luke. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Right? They're sharing the good news. Verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So once you understand as much as your brain is capable of understanding, once you understand who God is, once you understand the depths of God's love for you, after you are praising him and worshiping him, what should just naturally spring out of that is sharing the gospel. I've already talked about windows of opportunity this morning. This is a challenge that I have for you, and something that for you to think about. When's the last time you shared the gospel? When is the last time you took an opportunity to speak truth into someone's life? To speak about Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to share with them what that means to you. Now, if I say that and you're like, I've never shared the gospel, then you for sure are not acting like we see here in Scripture, right? Once you know that, I always like equate it to, anybody in here love secrets? Don't put your hands up. You all do. Everyone loves secrets. When you got a good secret, what just itching at you? What itches at you, Gracie? No. Tell it, yes. Gracie's like, why is he picking on me? That's because you looked at me, Gracie, right? So you have this desire. You're just like, man, this is so good. This is juicy. This is good. I'm like, I'm going to blow someone's mind when I share this. You should feel that way about the gospel times 1,000 because it's the greatest news. No matter what office drama or what drama you have in your family, it pales in comparison to the truth of the gospel. Like I shared earlier, what's at stake here is eternal salvation and where someone is going to spend their eternity at. That's what's at risk here. And I'll go ahead and share this with you this morning, and it's something that I had to come to grips with a long time ago. Hey, church, let me tell you something. The gospel, it is offensive. You are going to offend people when you share the gospel. You know why? Because it goes against your inherent sin nature. So just go ahead and accept the fact you are going to offend people with the gospel. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Every time I open God's word, I'm offended. Because I read that and be like, that's me. That's me. That's convicting to me. I'm struggling with that. I have a problem with that, right? So go ahead and get over the fact that you're going to offend someone and understand you're still called to do it. But how are you called to do it? Gently, kindly, lovingly. You don't chew people up like bulldogs. But understand, they are going to be convicted. They are not going to like what it has to say. And that's because they're slaves to sin. They're a slave to sin, and we don't want that for people. We link this together also with the prophecy in Luke chapter 1, verse 78 through 79. Zechariah is saying this, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, then recorded by Luke. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so as we understand Christ, as we understand him as the light of the world, as we understand what he brought into the world, as he was able to be righteous and did everything perfectly and was without sin, we understand that he then gives us an avenue to be seen as righteous and to be able to stand in front of God and be redeemed. That's what we should be sharing. And the next The second thing that the angels speak about is that without understanding who Christ is, you're not going to be able to have this, and that's a spirit of peace. And so we are called to be people of peace. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so when we talk about this peace, what are we talking about? You talked about it some in your Sunday school class this morning, talking about fear and fear of what is to come. And the truth is this, we can have peace in our hearts as we understand where our eternal salvation is headed. We can have the peace of Christ. When I share the gospel with people and people start asking questions, the thing that I like to point at in my life that's been one of the biggest transformation is the peace that I have because of my relationship with Christ. I used to get all, as they say, wrapped around the axle. I was like, well, what about this? And they doesn't know the answer to this, and so-and-so doesn't know the answer to that. And I was always like, no one knows the answers. No one knows the answers. I can remember one time in high school, I was a part of this. I wasn't the main person, but I was part of it, so it makes me guilty. Is that the teacher's answer book went missing from a teacher, right? I was involved in that. I saw the answer book, and you know what I found out real quick? No offense to the teachers. The teacher had no idea how to teach the class without the answer book. And I was like, and I looked up to this person. I was like, man, he doesn't even know the answers without the answer book. No one knows any answers. And I just had this sense of just recklessness, and I was like, man, no one knows anything. Until I entered into a deeper relationship with the Lord, and that peace of that relationship came upon me. And I understand there are questions that can't be answered. There are things that can't be answered by man, but God can answer them. And there's some things that I don't need answers to, because guess what I have? I have faith. And so not everything is laid out in front of me, written down on a piece of paper that I can read. I have to have faith. And that's the peace that comes from relationship with Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 calls Christ this. He calls him the Prince of Peace. It's an amazing thing. And we see the angels talking about this. I was reading a story about peace. And this mother was out doing some last-minute shopping, had her child with her, running from store to store. About the third store, she realized she didn't have her kid anymore. The kid was gone. Some of you laugh. I've lost my kid before, too, so I'm guilty of this, too. I lost my kid in Walmart one time. I'm like, ooh, better find her. This could be a problem. But she couldn't find her kid. So she's running around. She finally finds her kid looking at a nativity scene. And as the mom, you can imagine how frustrated she is. She's mad at the kid. She's mad at herself for losing her kid. She runs up to him. The little kid says, "Look, Mom, it's Jesus." And she replies to the kid, "Hey, we don't have time for that. I'm getting ready for Christmas." It's a truth that happens this time of year. That's a story that I don't know if it's true or not. But it's a reminder so many of us are acting that way. We've done everything we can to remove Christ from Christmas, and we've turned it into something that it's not. This is a celebration of your Lord and Savior coming to earth, putting on flesh, humbling himself, and coming to walk the earth, as the hymn says, in ridicule and shame, to do it perfectly, to model behavior for us, so that then he can then go to the cross and be the perfect spotless lamb that is then sacrificed on the cross, raised 3 days later to overcome the grave, so you and I can spend eternity with God. That's what we celebrate next Sunday. Side note, Jesus probably wasn't born on December 25th. That's a different story for a different time. But that's what we celebrate next Sunday. I encourage you, don't lose sight of what this is. Don't understand what Christ accomplished. You know, one of the things that I talked about at this summer in my Sunday school class, I was very blessed. I think we had 8 people this morning. It was a great Sunday school class, right? Is talked about this, is that what Christ accomplished was personal. So the peace we have is personal. We see there in verse 14, on earth. You should really meditate and think about that at times, is that everything you've experienced, so is Christ. Right? Christ did not stay in heaven. He did not stay with God the Father. He did not stay in heaven with the Spirit. He came and he walked the earth, and he understands everything you have experienced. He experienced it. But the difference is, he handled it perfectly. So, somebody at work talking about you, yeah, Jesus dealt with that. Somebody at work trying to kill you, I hope that doesn't happen, right? But they did him, right? And he willingly did these things. And so, our relationship with Jesus is personal. Now, the thing that is most amazing about this to me, and we see this in verse 10, and the angel said to them, talking to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for whom? All the people." Here's a very important truth that we need to understand. We need to be thankful for this. We need to be filled with praise because of this. And it should encourage you to go out and share the gospel, for exactly what the angel said is this, is that God meant for the peace of Christ to reach every man and woman. He desires for everyone to have a relationship with him. Now, will everyone have a relationship with Christ? Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, you probably know people in your family that inherently do not desire a relationship with Christ. That, as Scripture says, they are kicking against the goads as hard as they can kick, right? That is not an excuse for you not to continue to share the gospel, to continue to plant seeds, to continue to pray for God to do a miraculous work in their life. Side note, it's the same miraculous work that he did in your life. He redeemed you as the most wretched sinner to where now you one day can spend eternity with him. It should blow your mind. Because you're as wretched as they come. Don't worry, JT, I just happened to look over there. Right? We're as wretched as they come. So am I. But the truth is, God loves us. And God came to earth incarnate as Jesus Christ for all men. Right? Again, it pushes us towards an understanding of praise. Right? So the last thing we're going to talk about here, and we see this at the very end of chapter or verse 14, right? We're talking about a spirit of the angels understanding God's sovereignty among those with whom he is pleased. I mean, and here's a truth, and I've modified, and I pray that I continue to modify my understanding of things as God continues to sanctify me and wants to speak truth into my life. And I think Cindy and I have had this conversation before, is I used to say, the closest you'll ever come to the love of God is your mom. And then I read Scripture and I continued to read. I was like, that's cheapening the agape type of love, right? Your mom does not love you unconditionally. Now, your mom loved you, most of you, right? Your mom loved you, right? I understand when I share that, some of you don't have the same experience as others with your mother or your father, and I'm sorry for that. But biblically speaking, how we're supposed to be as mothers and fathers is we love our kids, but you don't love them unconditionally. But I've modified this. The way that your mom or your parents are most like God is they want what's best for you. And that's what we see in God's sovereignty. God wants what's best for you, right? He wants you to be counted among those with whom he is pleased. And there's only one way you can do that. It's a word that's not popular in 2022. My guess it's never been popular with sinful people, is that requires obedience. For you to be counted among those whom he is pleased, you have to be obedient to what God's word teaches. I say, I can't pick on Simon. I think Simon, somebody told me he's in nursery. Pray for your kids. Is that obedience equals love. If you sit here this morning and you say, man, I love God. I love Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit to do a mighty work in my life. I want to look more like Jesus and less like the world. If you want those things, the way you have to, not only does your heart have to be changed, but you have to become obedient to God's word. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I want to be counted as blessed. I want to be those among who pleases God, but yet I want to do things my way. That does not work according to Scripture. My guess is everyone with us this morning, scoreboard says 69. There's the 69 of the people that are here with us right now. You have a little bit of that testimony where you tried that. You tried to do things your way. How did it end up, JT? Not well. That's the truth for all of us. We all have a little bit of that testimony. But what God desires for us is God's desires to rule our lives, to keep us protected, so that we can be counted as pleased in his life, right? And here's the truth. Jesus is Lord of your life, but are you living in submission to that? Are you living with that understanding every day? Are you pleased to be living a life of submission to God? One of the true things is that our sin nature is always going to make it difficult for us to do this perfectly, but it should please you to be in submission to God. It should please you to gather this morning with God's people. I've said this before. If your wife or your mom or whoever's in charge of your house or your dad or whoever it is had to drag you out of bed to be here this morning, that's a bad sign. You want to be here. You should desire to be here because God's people gather together to lift up songs of praise to him, to grow in our understanding of him. But really, one of the main important reasons of all this is it reminds us of who God is and why he's sovereign and why we're not. It's very important for us to understand. We continue here. Luke chapter 1, verse 71 through 75, God's word says this. That we should be talking about God's sovereignty. These are some benefits of God's sovereignty. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us. And so we understand, and quite often, you know, people, when you talk about submission or sovereignty or providence, you know, we could talk about all those things together, people act like they don't want it. But you see here clearly in this prophecy of Zechariah, right? We see here very clearly that God's sovereignty protects you. Now, whether you like to admit it or not, you see there in verse 71, the hand of all who hate us. It is very unfortunate that we live in a sinful world, that the world itself is paying for the cost of sin, that people hate you for no other reason because you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the truth is, they do. They hate you because of that. But in God's sovereignty, he protects us. He gives us protection of those things. Something else that's very important that we see in God's sovereignty and our understanding of that is God's sovereignty gives us purpose. Back to Zechariah's prophecy, verse 74 and 75. That we, that's us, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Quite simply, church, I'm going to blow your minds this morning. I can answer the age-old question for you. What is your purpose in life? It's to glorify God. And you're like, well, that's not very specific. You're right. It's not very specific. That's what's amazing is within that declaration of the purpose, the reason you were created was to glorify God, within that declaration, there is a vast way you can glorify God. You can glorify God by doing this. You can glorify God by doing that. But your purpose is to glorify God. And what we see, what comes with that, right? Is that we have to understand of our holiness and righteousness. I read this, and I'm pretty sure this is not a true story, but I read this. As they asked a child, you know, who do you like better, Santa Claus or Jesus? She said, easy, Santa Claus. And they said, why? They said, Santa Claus, you only got to be good in December. With Jesus, you got to be good all the time, right? And so we hear that, and we're like, oh, man, look at kids. They're funny, aren't they? I think that's a pretty big reflection of you and I as well. You should desire righteousness in your life. You should desire holiness in your life. I won't chase the rabbit very far this morning, but you're already positionally holy because if you're trusting in the Lord, he's already redeemed you, right? But now you have to go through the process, what we call sanctification, to where you're actively holy in your life. And so I encourage you in this. Are you pursuing sanctification in your life? Are you watching shows that are putting things in your head you shouldn't be putting in? Are you reading things you shouldn't be reading? Are you listening to music you shouldn't be reading? As Christians, we should be pursuing this holiness and righteousness. Why? Because we understand, just like the angel shown us, that God is sovereign and he is the only thing worthy of our worship. Right? We need to understand, and I know I quote this Bible verse all the time, but I love it. I think it's so important for us to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is something, I see this in a lot of your lives, is that you should look very, very different. When I sit down with someone and I have a conversation of someone who wants to be baptized or wants to commit their life to the Lord, the question I ask them is like, is there a marked change in your life? Do you look very different? Right? Because as it says there, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You should look very different. And why should you look different? It's because of the work. It's because now you have Christ, the indwelling spirit inside of you, but also because you understand who God is. You understand that he is sovereign over your life and that now you should be pursuing a life of righteousness and holiness. I think this is one of the largest issues with the church in 2022 is so many people, they think that they can come to church on Sunday, maybe put some nice clothes on, maybe not, sing a few songs, be like, man, I'm good. I've got my Jesus meter filled up for the week. And they go out from Monday to Saturday living a life that looks like the world and looks nothing like Christ. Church, I'm telling you right now, that makes no sense according to Scripture. I've shared the testimony of my life. I had that modeled for me for many years. I was always putting clothes a little too tight for me and was made to sit there and act like I had some sense for an hour. But then Monday through Saturday, my family did whatever they wanted to do. And by anything they wanted to do, insert sinful things. And it teaches you to be fake. Like we talked about last week, the Pharisees, when Jesus calls them whitewashed tombs, we got a lot of whitewashed tombs today too. That concept hasn't gone away in 2022. We have to understand, when we understand who God is, when we understand he's the only thing worthy of praise, when we understand of who he is and the fact that he's sovereign, it should create a desire, a need in you to chase after him, to chase after righteousness, to do everything you can to be holy. Understanding this, you can't do it perfect. Only Christ could do that perfect. But that's not an excuse for you not to pursue it, for you not to chase after it, right? It's very important for us to understand what is going on. I was reading another article, it was a survey. I didn't know this was news to me, but Tokyo celebrates Christmas. It's a huge holiday in Tokyo. I think Tokyo is second only to the United States of how big Christmas is as far as buying things. So a reporter asked a lady on the street, like, do you know what Christmas celebrates? And the lady laughed. She's like, isn't that the day Jesus died? Right? No idea. Just completely clueless of what Christmas is. I am very confident that as I speak to you all this morning, everyone in here knows what Christmas is. You understand what we celebrate that day. But I would encourage you to pray and to think about is, does your spirit reflect that? You may have the head knowledge. You guys, there's a lot of smart people out here. You may have the head knowledge of what Christmas is, but does your spirit reflect Christmas? Are you being full of praise right now? Are you understanding and thankful for who God is? Are you thankful for His sovereignty? Are you striving to be obedient to Him? Or are you simply just trying to buy the best present for whoever it is next Sunday? I pray it's the latter and not the last there. I pray you understand who God is, right? And so what we're going to do now is I'm going to pray for us. And if anyone has heard these things this morning, you're like, well, I don't know what it means to have a relationship with Christ, or I don't feel very praiseful this time of year, or I don't know what any of this means. Man, I would love to have a conversation with you down front. We'll begin that conversation. We'll start that. I'll share with you some more about what Christ can do for your life and what Christ has done for my life. And for the rest of you that are already resting in the Lord, I'm thankful for you. I pray that you're thankful for God calling you as one of His elect. But I also would encourage you to be intentional in this season. Do not let the world steal your joy, take away from you what we celebrate next Sunday, and that's the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for these truths in Scripture. Lord, I thank you for the reality of what Scripture bears out for us. Lord, I pray for myself, for everyone with us this morning, those that are at home, those that are here in person. Lord, that we are truly focused on you this time of year. We're taking opportunities to share the gospel with friends and family, that we're joyful, that we're very filled, full of praise. We're thankful for your protection. We're thankful for your sovereignty. And Lord, because of that, it produces in us an attitude and a desire to chase after your holiness. For us to be as holy as we possibly can be, as we block out the world, as we resist temptation, as we drill deeper into who you are and what you stand for, that we cling closer to that. Lord, I pray that if anyone with us this morning does not have this relationship or is not sure what peace can be in their heart, Lord, I pray that they come down and we can have a conversation discussing that. Lord, I pray that this season gives us the opportunity to grow in a deeper understanding of you and understand that only you are worthy of our worship and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Let us stand and let us respond in song.
Oh,
I will never say that your hymnal is equal to your Bible. It's just not. But there's a lot of truth in a lot of those hymns. Anytime I sing that song, I'm reminded of a dear saint, Doug Ball. He didn't have a lot to work with when he worked with Matthew and I in the choir. And he always told Matthew, like, you're starting way too high. Start lower, start lower. So every time I sing that, I'm like, start low, start low. Start low and appreciate what it reminds us of. What was accomplished that night, the truths of that. And I pray that you're able to take those truths. I pray that you're using windows of opportunity to share that gospel with people. And I pray that you're using these opportunities for your family to encapsulate them in God's word and to not get sucked into the world and what the world is just trying to turn this holiday into. It wasn't meant for that. It was meant for reflection upon Jesus. Right? Very thankful for everyone. I encourage everyone, be back tonight at 6 o'clock for the kids' play. I've been told it's a big one, and I'm in no doubt you're going to be blessed. And I know a lot of you all, well, all of you all that I'm aware of, are really good cooks, so there's going to be desserts there too. So you can always be there for that. Alan, will you close us in prayer, please?